With your help, we can continue to fight for freedom. This is not possible without your generosity. Join our quest for the truth and our freedom. Simply visit www.realitycheck.radio/donate to make a difference today.
Now it's time for Cam's Buddies. And I think we'll make this buddy session a bit of a free-for-all so we can hear what they thought about us being off air and now coming back. My producer has them all lined up and ready to go. Let's go now to Cam's Buddies. Welcome to Cam's Buddies, Paul. Great to have you back.
Good afternoon, Cam. Great to be back.
Yeah, I thought I'd make this a bit of a free-for-all discussion rather than a specific topic. Interested to know how you felt when we went off air and what you feel like now that we've come back.
When you went off air, I felt very disappointed. I didn't realise how much I was enjoying the CRC until it was gone. And I'm very glad you're back now, so that's a good thing.
What about what's happening around the place while we've been off? We've been off here since, my last show was the 5th of April, so it's just over a month. What are some of the things that have ripped your undies during the time we've been off here?
Well, one of the things that pleasantly pleased about is that the Minister of Education has said that they've brought back structured literacy in schools, and many of the teachers are struggling with even being able to do structured literacy. But because New Zealand had a reading, we were somewhat of the worst in the OECD when we had all this other sort of silly behaviour, and now we're getting back to something that's sensible, I think children will be way better off for it, and if we can get the teachers to actually get with the program.
That's going to be the problem, isn't it? Because the teachers tend to cut up rough when there's a national-led government in place rather than a Labour-led government, but we've had probably declining educational standards for considerably more than 10 years, probably more like 30 years.
Yeah, I'm on the board of a school, and if it was the decile system still, which it's not, but if it was, it was one of the lowest decile schools in the country. Yeah. At that time, it was a 1C, which 10 is high, 1 is low, and then there's alpha characters to go even lower. And we were a 1C. And we had 80% of our kids pass and go on to get university entrance. And one of the spectacular things that we did, that these kids that passed did, was they attended school. And so if you look at the stats of attendance for school, our school was at 80%. And yeah. 80% of the kids happened to be getting the pass and the university entrance and passing the other years. And it's amazing. If they attend school, they pass.
Who would have thought?
Yes, but if you read the stats on it, last year the stats were at 50.9%, so not even 51%, attend school, which means 49% don't attend school. So if you're wondering why we've got an interesting group of young people coming upon our hands, if half of the kids don't go to school, one has to wonder, what do we think is going to be, who's going to be paying for our pension when we get older if the kids don't go to school anymore?
Well, and what are they doing when they're not at school? Are they working or are they committing crime?
There's definitely mischief made for idle hands. Many of them are gaming, and many of them they've got mental problems from inability to socialise, they become stressed, they become all sorts of things. They've got all sorts of names for them now as well. But by not attending school, I guess it happened with the lockdowns and the carry-on, kids got into the habit of not attending school. But now they've got it so badly, and I see that there's on the statute books you can get fined as a parent. I think it's $30 a day, every day your kids don't go to school with a legitimate reason. But no one ever uses any of these particular statutes. But I'm just thinking, if you want a country to be absolutely bombed, having uneducated population is definitely a good way to start.
Yeah, so attending school's the first thing, is to get them to attend school. And, you know, there used to be things called truancy offices, and who knows whether those still exist. But getting them to go to schools to food.
Well, I believe they do, but I don't think they do. I think that it's too overwhelming. They just don't know where to start. So they might do one or two out of the 100, you know?
And then what we need to do is address the curriculum, don't we? Because right now we've got schools, even at primary schools, where they're teaching kids, unuseful things like, I don't know, that if they decide that they can change their gender or nonsense like that.
Yes, yeah, and they can go on the pill, they can do all sorts of things without their parents' knowledge because of some misguided privacy. And you can probably even go on puberty blockers and all that sort of thing. You can in many countries without your parents having any idea of the problems that are going on in your mind. So I just thought having Nicola Willis come up and say, I think it was Nicola Willis, they're saying they were getting into structured literacy. I thought that was a good start, having some early building blocks going in place. And that was one of the things I thought of. Another thing that I was listening to, which if I could just diverse a bit, is when they were talking about the additional prison beds being built, and the commentators, I listened on three last night, a couple of nights ago, and the commentators on that were telling us what a scorecard the Minister of Corrections was getting and what a scorecard the Prime Minister was getting, but no mention of the fact that they were being conservative, because they were saying, is this the 600 houses beds that Labor built, or is it more? And there was 800 more. Well, it eventually ended up being that it was 1,400 more, the 800 and the 600, but they were saying, so sure, the guys might not have known their topic perfectly, but having the opinion of the TV3 news reporters telling them how rubbish they were and how their scorecard was very bad, and I'm thinking, I wonder why they're taking TV3 news off air. Because if you think it's a good idea to rubbish your employer, and if you think it's a good idea to have you being the news rather than the subject material being the news, I have no, it just sticks out to me like cause and effect, you're an idiot and you're gone. And I thought, just listening to TV3 news, and I only listened to it because it was playing after Sale GP racing. So I listened to the news and I thought, what a load of the reporters doing their best to be the news rather than reporting what the news was that we would be interested in. So the fact that an extra 800 beds have gone to corrections, I've had a few things stolen off me in the last week, and I think that we need to have more beds for such folk.
Or you know, cots and tents would do as well. You know, they do that in places in the United States. You know, we've got our soldiers living in tents all around the world. Why can't we put prisoners in tents?
Exactly. Like, why do they have to have the most luxurious places ever? And I see that they burned down the high security wing the other day. And it was a while back now, I guess. But you just look and you think, really? There's just a whole lot of stuff here that's just complete bollocks.
But you're just talking about News Hub and TV3. On Tuesday, they've announced that that the new host of the new news show that's going to be provided by Stuff, another failing media organisation, is going to be the same host that was on News Hub, which failed. And it's the most exciting thing in news that's happening in this is what she said, it's the most exciting thing in news that's happening. It's going to be innovative and it's going to be amazing. And I'm sitting there thinking, well, you read the news off a teleprompter, love. Nothing's innovative about that. We've been doing that for like 40, 50 years. And that just shows how out of touch.
Nothing is amazing either.
Yeah, they're just showing how out of touch with reality they are, that they're talking it up, that that the new news is going to be, well, it's going to be the same as the old news, but it's less Mike McRoberts. So I guess that's an improvement. But you know what I mean? They're sitting there talking themselves up and making themselves the news instead of just, why don't you deliver the news?
Yes, we want to hear the news. We don't want to hear the news.
Maybe that's something that RCR could look at, producing a news bulletin and putting that out on X, sidestepping television channels and putting it on X and Facebook and YouTube and all of those sorts of things, and just produce a straight news product and see how popular that is.
Yes, so I'm sure that would be immensely popular just to state what happened rather than your opinion on it. I actually don't give a shit what your opinion is, to be fair. I want to know what happened, and then I can figure out with my mind, which, whether it's good or bad, it figures things out and it has its own filtering process. You tell me what happened and I'll tell you if I like it.
So that's the thing about Elon Musk, just to segue into that. He's announced that he is going to launch what he's described as XTV, which will be built into the app on your phone, that you can then cast that onto a TV screen if you want to watch it in big. So you can get people like Tucker Carlson and that, you know, I'll watch that show when I want to watch it, not when you want me to watch it. And I'm going to cast that onto my big screen so I can sit here in comfort and actually get some information I'm interested in.
Exactly.
He's not a silly person.
I mean, Tucker Carlson is classic, isn't he?
Yeah, when he had an audience of about 5 million when he was with Fox, and now his audience is something like 100 million. On X.
Right.
You know, so Elon Musk
say that he doesn't know what he's doing.
Or that Elon Musk doesn't know what he's doing. You know, he's one of the smartest men out there in business and everyone mocks him, but he just keeps on going.
Yeah. And that cut the tool poppy is still very prevalent in New Zealand. I hear a lot of people saying things about how the Prime Minister, oh, he's such a this or such a that. And I'm thinking, well, he's delivering on the things he said he was going to deliver on. And let's give him a go. Let's see. Now, he might not be the most articulate. He might make a few mistakes here and there, but the things he said he's going to do, he's starting to do. And then I see Winston's been overseas, and when he comes back, he gives a bloke who slapped New Zealand a slap back. He makes the news big time. It's like it's actually out of a copybook. Let's see if we can make Winston popular because he was waning in the polls. Nothing better have I seen in the last week.
It's fabulous. You know, the funny thing is that in Australia, Bob Carr's nickname is Beijing Bob. That's how much in the pocket of the Chinese he is. You know, so he's saying he's going to sue Winston Peters. Winston will be laughing all the way to the next election with Bob Carr trying to sue him for defamation.
We enjoy such fights because especially when what he called him a shrill for the Chinese. Yeah. I mean, if anyone can work the definition of that out to something different than what he is, that looks like it's not defaming. It's only defaming to say it's defaming.
Well, the Australian Financial Review described him as a Chinese puppet.
Exactly.
All right, I'd better let you run along, Paul. I've got Miles on the phone waiting in the wings, so we'll talk again next week. It's a pleasure having you back.
Very good. And great to be back on the air again. I'm really enjoying it. Take care. Bye for now.
Thank you. Bye. Welcome back to Cam's Buddies. Miles, great to have you.
Hi, Cam. It's great to be back. How are you today?
I'm feeling a whole lot better now that I'm back on air and talking with my buddies and getting some sensible discussions out there in the mainstream media instead of listening to the legacy media and their lies and carry on. So I'm interested to know how you felt with us being off air and how you feel now with us being back on air.
I was like a lost puppy, I tell you. I didn't know where my home was.
And now?
Well, I can tell you, I've got a smile on my face that's 24 carat.
Well, that's awesome. What else have you been doing in the past month since we've been off air? Or what's ripped your undies and caused some consternation, and you've had nowhere to vent on it like on this show?
Well, I can tell you, I've got two topics I'd like to have a vent or a rant about. The first one is this horrific shooting in Ponsonby. Tonne went there and shot a man in cold blood. Now, I hate to say this, but this comes back to the great confiscation where Jacinda Ardern said we'd all be safer by confiscating all those nasty, evil black guns. We would have a much safer society. Well, I beg to differ, and I think that's backed me up. Firearms crime, I think, is out of control in this country. And Cam, guess what? It's not the licensed firearms owners who are the perpetrators.
No, it's criminals.
Why? Yeah, why is it that the licensed firearms owners are the targets of the great confiscation where all these nasty guns had to be given back? Why is it that the police are targeting licensed firearms owners? It's not the problem, in my view.
What cracks me up is that whenever there's a shooting like this, for the next 24 hours, the police are all standing around with firearms themselves. It's kind of like shutting the door after the horse has bolted. If there's a dead body on the street, it means the police have actually failed. And then standing there is doing what? Giving comfort to people? No one's going to, there's not going to be another shooting there in the next 5 minutes or even the next week. So why stand there with all of these firearms while they're doing their investigations? It's ridiculous.
It's typical of the police posturing. And this crime is horrific, there's no doubt about it. But in my view, it is a criminal element that has gotten out of control because the Ardern Labor government let the criminals go, gave them basically free rein. And I'm very angry about that. And I think that the recent announcement of $1.5 billion for prisons, you know, I'm in the sidelines cheering that on.
Well, I think we could do it cheaper. I mean, I just had Paul discussing that, and I was saying, well, you know, if we send soldiers overseas to Afghanistan or Iraq or you know, any other place that we send troops to, invariably they're housed in tents with a very basic cot to sleep in. If it's good enough for our soldiers to do it, then I think it should be good enough for our prisoners.
Yeah, let's not get me started on that. I mean, my main push was for tonight's discussion was about how the police have lost the trust and cooperation of the licensed firearms owners because they've been conducting what literally amounts to a program against them from the days of the confiscation, and I'm over it for one. But I'd like to move on to my second topic, which is Winston Peters, which is far more entertaining.
And gives
it's the gift that keeps on giving. And this chap, Bob Carr, goodness me, it's a Labor Party hit that's gone terribly wrong. I mean, Bob Carr came to New Zealand. He spoke at a Labor Party function. He had a cheap shot at Winston Peters, and Winston Peters hit back. Guess what? The media is wrong. Winston Peters has got the upper hand, and I'm enjoying every second of it.
Yeah, it's delightful. It's glad, I'm glad to have Winston back in the country, actually. It's a whole lot more entertaining when he is, especially when he starts smacking the media up or all the woke wombles that are out there. Who seem to think that their voice matters. And Winston disabuses them of that notion rather loudly and rather frequently, and it's entertaining.
Well, isn't it great? You know, this was, I believe, a pre-planned Labor Party hit on the foreign minister and foreign policy, and it's gone terribly wrong with them for them. The mainstream media have all, of course, piled in behind the Labor Party, but they forgot. They're between a rock and a hard place, and Winston Peters is that hard place. And I, for one, wouldn't like to be the man to come up against a chap like Winston Peters.
Well, he hasn't lost in court yet, so you know, I think Bob Carr probably isn't going to go ahead. I mean, after all, his nickname in Australia is Beijing Bob. That's how much of a lock he is for the CCP.
Well, you know, all I can say is that it is politics at its most delicious when the Labor Party hit just goes down the gurgler and the media are left standing there holding and wailing. It's just great. And Winston Peters, I am sure he's enjoying every moment of this, and with some justification, to be totally honest.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see what the next poll shows.
Yes, I think that, you know, if I can say one word about the TV1 representation of that poll, good Lord, that just shows to me that TV1 needs a toilet brush through to clean out the mess that it's become.
Yeah, well, they misrepresented the position of the poll and the public on the and whether or not they support the job losses in the state sector and the public servants. And the numbers very clearly show that, by and large, the majority of New Zealand public, or a plurality, if we want to be completely technically correct, are in favour of the jobs being lost, the sackings that are going on. And yet TVNZ and One News tried to make out that that everybody was aghast at this, and they just aren't.
And you know what? This again, you know, like the hit job on Winston Peters, this again has to be the undoing of the mainstream media. And TV One, I'm speaking to you. You guys, you don't know how far down the road you are. And it's not going to take very much. And nobody's going to be crying when you get your marching orders. And frankly speaking, it's getting to be a bit boring the way that you are attack and misrepresenting what is happening in the news. And it's frightful, actually.
Yeah, it is. You know, what we've done with Reality Check Radio is we've gone out to our audience and said, can you give us a hand? And they have, and we're back on air. And it's fantastic to see that support. Can you imagine Stuff or the Herald or TV3 doing the same thing and getting the same result? I would think that they wouldn't get anywhere near the result that we've achieved.
Correct. And congratulations to all those people who put their hands in their pockets, because actually you're doing the whole country a service, and you should stand up and be proud of what you've done, because I think Reality Check Radio actually keeps the media honest, and the comments, the interviews. I mean, for heaven's sake, Reality Check Radio lets people speak.
That we do. Anyway, you've got to run along. I know you've got another appointment to go to, and I've got another call waiting in the queue. So I better let you go, Miles. Thanks so much for coming back on The Crunch, and we'll talk again next week.
Thank you very much, Cam. We'll see you next week.
See you. Hello, Lindley. Welcome back to Cam's Buddies. It's been over a month, you know, since we last spoke.
Oh, thanks, Cam. Look, it's so good to be back, isn't it? I mean, I've just had a really, really, like living in a void, really, for a month.
Well, it was terrible for me as well, you know, not having, you know, to prepare a show and to talk to my buddies and to interview people, interesting people, and hear what they've got to say about things. It's been a real void in my life too, and I'm so very glad to be back on air, and I'm glad that that you've missed us as well, and that we're here to entertain everybody with our wonderful discourse.
Oh, I know. The thing is, I don't think you people realise how you've sort of formed a family, really. You know, there's a real connection to RCR. And there's so many people that have been isolated, you know, during the pandemic and everything, and they've been pushed on the outer, and a lot of them ridiculed and demonised, and they've then formed a connection with RCR and feel safe and secure there, and then all of a sudden it wasn't there. It was a really horrible feeling. It was like being lost in a boat out at sea.
Well, it was a horrible feeling for all of us, but, you know, just talking with Miles, I said, you know, this in your comments regarding a community, it's true. We've built a community, a community of interest. We may not all agree on anything 100%, but we know that if we speak up and we want to have a word like you do on Buddies or using email, that our hosts are going to read those out. We're going to take the brickbats with the bouquets. And that's what a media outlet should be like. And you're right, it is a community. And I put the question to Miles: do you think if Stuff or the Herald, or TVNZ or News Hub, went to their audience and said, "Can you help us out?" they'd get the same result as we have?
I would doubt it. And of course, it's the safety aspect with RCR. I mean, there are opinions I don't agree with on it. But I know I'm not going to be lambasted or ridiculed. That's the difference. And you know, with the other media outlets, you still cannot bring up a talk back or put anything on social media or anything questioning COVID, climate change, racism, and a few other topics, because if you're not on the favoured opinion, you're just going to be demonised and ridiculed. And I think that is the huge difference. We have a real feeling of safety. It's a little bit like a nurturing feeling. We know we're not going to be treated like that. And I think that's just so important, because you can disagree with somebody and just let it slide. You don't actually have to hammer them for it.
No, that's right. I mean, I don't agree with some of the opinions of other hosts or guests that might be on RCR. We shouldn't. We live in a vibrant democracy and society where, you know, the rule of law and freedom of speech should be paramount. And this homogenized view that we all have to have an agreed perspective or agreed point of view is just wrong. What makes us a great station, what makes us a great community, is that we can have those differing opinions who will fight their corner vociferously, but go and have a wine with them afterwards, or a cup of tea, or whatever. You don't have to take it personally. You can debate the ideas, but you don't have to take it personally.
No, well, that's the absolute difference. It really is. But I have had an interesting time while I've been away, which I'll just briefly talk about, because you did say I could talk about anything. That's
yeah,
a terrible
go right
thing
ahead.
To say to a woman, isn't it?
It shows how free we are, how free and unencumbered we are at Reality Check Radio.
I know. Anyway, this is something that you know a little bit about, and I'm following your case with great interest. So this is not in opposition to what you're doing. It's just an interesting thing that I have gone through in the past month. And it's about pathways, really, and it's just pathways for the average person. And I made a New Year's resolution to optimise my health and fitness parameters.
Oh, great.
So I went off to the GP to try and get a base of what those parameters might be. And I also wanted a basic mineral test, which would be in line with deficiencies in our local area. So based on deficiencies in animals and racehorses, which I know a little bit about.
Yeah.
Because we have to be the same, because, you know, we're eating off the same soil.
Yep.
So anyway, I got absolutely nowhere, and I found there was just no pathway for the average person to actually establish any of this information. And at the end of it, I came to the decision that they probably, in some funny way, the health system has become that they're really happy for us to be like a drone with a half-dead battery, you know. We're sort of okay and we can function, but being optimal is something sort of unheard of. And I had a real struggle, so it was interesting. I went into the GP and told him what I wanted, and he said that I had good average health for my age. And I said, well, I don't actually want to be gauged against the average or the age. I want to know what is optimal, what is achievable for me. And he said they have no parameters for that at all. They just have a guide, you know, which is based on average ranges, but they don't have anything on, you know, what might represent a really optimal, fit and healthy person. So that was a first shock. So anyway, I contacted a sports med outfit that I had a bit of contact with way in the past,
yep.
And I got no further with them. I never got any further at all. They'd never heard of such a thing. And I said, well, I can get blood tests for a racehorse, which will gauge if it's ready to race. Why can't I get the same thing for a person?
Lindley wants to be and ready to race.
Yes. Oh. And they'd never heard of such a thing. And I said, well, you're sports med. What about the athletes in our area? What do they do? And yeah. She said, well, they just go to their GP if they're sort of feeling a bit crook or something and get blood tests for that. And I said, yes, but that's not what I mean. I mean a blood test that will tell you whether you are the equivalent of ready to race. That's optimal, isn't it?
Well, that would be ideal.
And I got absolutely, I got absolutely nowhere. It's fascinated me for years how you can get that for a racehorse. And if it's deficient in something, you can just buy an over-the-counter supplement. And bingo, no time at all, its levels rise straight up to the optimal level. But that doesn't happen with people. And I've got the figures to prove it.
Here's an idea for you, Lindley. Why don't you go and give a sample to the vet that does that for the racehorses and say, here's a sample for a racehorse called, Lindley, and I want to see if it's ready to race and get them to analyse it and tell you what you're deficient in.
Well, I went halfway towards that. I actually met the vet and he gave me some advice on what to get tested. So I fronted up with 11 particular minerals to test, and he told me which ones were likely to be the most deficient, in having me at my peak. And so he said, get copper, cobalt, magnesium, selenium and zinc in particular done, and add your other ones to that. So I went in with 11, a request of 11 in total, and the nurse looked at me and she said, she was a little bit cross with me, and she said, what do you want these done for anyway? And I said, why? And she said, well, you'll get those in your diet.
Well, that's not true, because New Zealand soil is deficient in cobalt, it's deficient in selenium, it's deficient in iodine. There's so many things that New Zealand soil doesn't have, which is why we add some of those things to, like salt, for example, is iodized salt. The reason why we do that is because there's no iodine in our soil. And so we have to do
Absolutely correct. But the amazing thing is, this is how brainwashed we've all become. She never asked me what my diet was. She has no idea what my diet was. Absolutely none.
You should have shocked her and said, look, as an older New Zealander, I can really only afford cat food to eat. So I'm just wanting to make sure I get the right one.
Yeah, exactly. But anyhow, I hung in there and I got the tests back and they were low in zinc. All the rest they told me were really good, but I can tell you from going through them and discussing it with the vet and everything that I'm not ready to race. I am just a drone with a half-flat battery getting around quite adequately, but they not want, well. So
They want to put you out to pasture. But you don't want to be put. You don't want to be put out to pasture. You want to actually race.
I do. It'd be worse if I was put out to stud, I imagine. But anyway, so that was one
trying,
half.
It'd be fun,
I suppose. that was the one pathway I couldn't get through, but I have discovered why it is that you can get a racehorse's levels up and you can't get a person. And I'm just going to give one example of vitamin D. The supplement in New Zealand is regulated at 1,000 international units. In the USA, it's regulated at 10,000. So that's 10 times what New Zealand's regulated at. And the 10,000 international units has picked my level up really, really effectively. So that's why it is.
Yeah, that's really interesting you say that, because, they say, the required dietary supplements that you take is 1,000, and then you get a recommendation from someone who knows what they're talking about. And it's, no, you need to be taking 10,000.
Can't get them.
Well, no, you just take 10 of the 1,000 ones.
Well, you'd be poor in no time, and they know it. They know you're not going to take 10 of them.
Yeah.
Your bottle would be gone in 3 days, So anyway, that's why the racehorses and farm animals, you can get them right very quickly, because the over-the-counter supplements for them are not regulated down to a really, really low level. So I find this really interesting.
Yeah, exactly. It is very interesting, which is why I talk to Gary Moller, because that's exactly what he focuses on, is the deficiencies that are in your body and then what you need to supplement that in the form of powders or particular dietary changes. And, you know, the changes in my life as a result of focusing on diet and those deficiencies is huge, you know, huge improvements. And so I admire you for doing exactly the same thing.
Yeah, well, I've sort of been in this battle for years, but anyway, that's that one. Now, a very quick one, because I know we need to pay attention to the time.
Got about 2 minutes.
2 minutes?
Yep.
Yeah. So my second pathway was trying to find out if my side effects from number one COVID vaccination, which I had, to find out whether they were in fact listed as they had promised me, and I can't get on a pathway to that at all. I just want everyone to know that. They have been vaporised. I've been round and round in circles with Health New Zealand, the pharmacy who listed the side effects. I've sent a complaint to Casey Costello, who is acting for seniors, and there is no trace of my listed side effects whatsoever.
Well,
so there's no pathway to it.
No, because if you don't have it listed, if you don't have it listed, then they can't address it. And they'll say,
No, they don't exist.
Yeah, they don't exist, so no pathway for that. Mm.
Yeah, so that's all I wanted to say today.
Well, Lindley, it's been a real pleasure having you back, and you know, you talking of yourself, putting yourself out to stud, had tears rolling down my face. So, but maybe we'll be able to clip that out and use that in another promo, seeing as you're already in one of our promos.
Yes, the mouse is doing well.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah, so,
the countdown mouse, but he was euthanized.
That dirty little rat. Oh no, it's a mouse. Sorry,
terrible.
Shouldn't assume its genus. Yes. All right, Lily, pleasure having you back, and we'll talk again next week.
Thanks, Cam. Take care.
Thank you. Bye. Welcome back to Cam's Buddies, Jimmy. Great to have you here.
We're back, Cameron. People can hear our unhinged opinion regularly.
I don't think it's unhinged. I think it's more mainstream, actually.
No, thanks to all the donations. It's good to be back and good to have a competing radio station back against all this woke non-rating station too.
Yeah.
Now, what's your topic this week?
No topic. It's whatever you want because we're back and, you know, maybe you've missed us a lot. You want to say how wonderful it is to be on the crunch with you, Cam, or, you know, something else.
I would like to speak about when the TV3 announced that News Hub was closing and the wailing and gnashing of the mainstream media, howling that the taxpayer won't bail them out while continuing to produce stuff that no one wants to listen to. How is, and then Melissa Lee having to take the fall for failing to bail them out. So yeah, Luxon appeased the media. I think that, why should they get bailed out, Cameron? Why?
Yeah, why exactly? They shouldn't get bailed out.
What?
You know, we didn't get bailed out. Our listenership, our members, our foundation members, our listeners, the community that we've built that supports the mission that we're on, we got the money that we needed from our fan base. If News Hub wanted to get any money from their fan base, they'd find it zero. Because no one cares about them, but people care about us.
Yeah, I mean, if enough people love News Hub, they'd be able to either fundraise or have an audience. But they just continue to produce news and media that no one wants to consume. Just as if you create inventions that no one wants to buy, you will go bankrupt. That's basic market reality. Why is the media immune to it? There is successful media stations in this country.
Yeah,
why don't they copy them?
Yeah, because they're not woke.
Why do they think that they can just produce woke crap that no one likes, that no one wants to read, that no one agrees with? And not that news should be news that you agree with, but just at least balanced, or, you know, both sides. You know, I continue to see it now, just today, you know. So, you know, the stuff about the earlier in the week about the
announcement of the large prison, the attacking over the Lux and Mitchell stuffing up their numbers. I mean, just rubbish, mate.
Total rubbish. Did you see the rubbish on Tuesday with Stuff and TV3 announcing that their new fantastic innovative news show is going to have the same person that was on the one that failed?
Well, the thing is, just, they will sink, mate. It's only a matter of time.
You can't
continue to flog a dead horse.
What is innovative about presenting the news? It would be innovative if Stuff and News Hub produced a news show that wasn't full of opinion. That would be innovative, and I don't think they're going to do that.
Or counterclaims to climate change, or counterclaims to the treaty, or anything. But I do see in the news on Tuesday that one of the best ones from News Hub has been snapped up by the biggest talkback station instantly because he had an audience.
That's right.
The only one that ran against the grain. It's just so obvious, right?
Yeah, he was the only one. He was the odd man out, so to speak. He's been snapped up because he did have an audience, because people valued what he had to say and the way that he conducted himself in the program, in the programs that he was on. He wasn't pushing.
I just think it just makes so much sense. Whereas other ones the media blows my mind in this country. It's honestly just, we just don't have enough decent media. And the other thing is when your radio station went off here to fundraise, you could see the joy in the woke on X and in the media talking about rabbit hole radio sinking and blah, 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 blah. They just didn't understand the strategy about fundraising. And they're just so petrified. And now I haven't actually had time this week to look to see the reaction with you guys being back. But I imagine that they're freaking out.
When they call us rabbit hole radio, they forget that for every rabbit that you see above ground, there's 10 underground.
Right. So yeah, it's great. It's great. I've had
it just gives me an idea. We should get an AI host and call them Warren.
I love it. Anything to stick it to the mainstream.
Yeah. All right, Jimmy. I've got Jack on the line up coming up next. So I'm going to have to push you off, and we'll talk again next week.
Good to be back, Cam. Thanks, mate.
Okay, mate. Thanks, Jimmy. Bye. Welcome back to Cam's Buddies, Jack. Good to have you back.
Hello, Cam. How are you?
That's a song, isn't it? Something about welcome back, Jack, or something like that.
Yeah, welcome back. Welcome back.
I got a bone to pick with you too. You piked out a lunch on Monday, but it was your shout because it was your birthday last week. Happy birthday.
Oh, thank you. I have a very valid reason. I've got a job working for an Australian company. And they have these Zoom meetings, which are between 10 and 12 Australian time, which is 12 to 2 New Zealand time.
Well, what is it, your mates or your job? Come on, Jack, get your priorities right.
I've got to eat.
Anyway,
I
haven't got a topic for us. You're a cantankerous, curmudgeonly elder gentleman. Surely something's annoyed you in the past week or indeed in the last 4 weeks since we've been off here.
Actually, a hell of a lot's annoyed me.
Yeah.
Where do you want me to start?
Anywhere you want.
Well, we've got to stop these young thugs breaking into Michael Hill Jewelers. I had a grand plan, actually. You know those, when you get an arborist to come round to your house to trim your trees? They have a truck there with this machine behind that mulches all the timber up.
Yep.
I think what we do is the next time we catch them, we line them up at the back there and offer for them to go either head first or feet first. They're going to go either way. I think
you'd only need to do one, wouldn't you?
Stop overnight.
You'd only need to do
one. It's the Lee Kuan Yew sort of effort that fixed the bank robberies in Singapore overnight. They just executed the first people they caught, all 11 of them, apparently.
Yeah, people tend to not try and break the law in Singapore because the consequences can be anything from, 6 strokes of the rotan on the soles of your feet or 20 on your back. And those aren't pleasant choices.
That would be pretty good. Yeah, but we have no consequences for anything here.
No, they can burn the prison down and we give them KFC.
Yes, exactly.
As if I was running corrections and they burnt the prison down, they'd be spending the night under the stars until such time as we got some tents for them, which could take a considerable amount of time.
I'd make it years.
Well, yeah, I did say time.
And I'd make them rebuild the prison.
Yeah.
That'd be an incentive for them to build the prison quickly.
Well, you know, you need labourers, and most of them that are in prison aren't fit for anything other than hard labour. So, yeah, that would have been a good idea. So you see old fellas that have got the answers, isn't it? None of the young people have got the answers for this. They'd probably want to give them, you know, blankies and KFC and give them little hugs and say to them, look, it's just you're misunderstood because you've been misgendered all your life.
Exactly. And here we've got some thug who's just killed someone that's 300 metres from where my business is.
Yeah.
I'm thinking, oh, man. And it appears at this stage that they were just innocent people that were shot.
Yeah. We won't know the full story, but, it's an interesting story that on Ponsonby Road, which is, you know, usually the hoi polloi hang around in those locations, and you've got gunfire and murder happening on a main street in Auckland. You know, so much for making us all safer by confiscating guns off licensed firearms owners.
I was about to say that, Cam. All the guys that, you know, had to give up their guns, what was that for? What's this guy doing running around with a pistol? I assume it was a pistol because it was in his little handbag.
Well, that's worth mocking anyway, isn't it? A big bloke like him with a little shoulder bag and he pulls out a handgun. But, you know, that's the thing, though.
Obviously a faggot.
This was pointed out to Dern at the time and the lawmakers that all you're doing is shutting the stable door after the horse has bolted, and you're not actually going to stop any crime. You're not going to stop anyone committing offences with firearms because criminals don't follow the law, and the only people who are affected by this are the law-abiding, i.e. licensed firearms owners. And that's proven out to be the case since they had the confiscation of firearms. We've had an explosion in firearms offences. Well, none of them are licensed firearms owners. So having a register, having a law that requires registration and checks and all of those sorts of things hasn't stopped any crime at all. It's a falsity that the police have pushed on us as citizens, and, you know, sadly we lay down and took it.
Well, I don't even know why we have any laws at all, because crime's committed by about 1% of the population and they don't read or obey the law, so 99% do. It's common sense. Most people don't go out to offend others and so forth. They don't want to kill people, maim people, hurt people. They just go about their business. It's the 1% that don't obey the law. So why do we have laws? We don't need them.
Well, they're just annoying, aren't they, most of the time? They're impinging on our rights as free citizens to go about our business without any interruption from anybody or anything, and particularly the government.
Absolutely.
Name one thing that the government has ever done to improve our lives.
I can't. I'm thinking. No. I can't.
No. It's like Ronald Reagan said in 1986, the 9 most dreaded words in the English language is, I'm from the government and I'm here to help you.
Yeah, that's what the CAA say all the time. I'm here to make the skies safe. Oh, what a load of rubbish.
Yeah, I mean, I would have thought that pilots had a vested interest in making the skies safe because if they weren't safe or their airplanes weren't safe, they'd soon stop flying.
That's why, you know, that unless there's a death wish up in the sharp end, which is unlikely, you're in great hands. The guys up there don't want to die. They're doing their best to make sure that no one dies, including themselves.
Exactly. It's self-interest. You know, as soon as they replace pilots with robots and AI, we're in real trouble because they won't care. A computer says fly to the ground.
Yep. I won't be jumping on an aeroplane driven by a robot.
No, exactly. Oh, well, Jack, it's been fun talking to you, and it's a pleasure to have you back, and we'll get you back on next week.
Thanks, Cam. Take care.
I will. Thank you very much. As usual, Lindley, Paul, Miles, Jack, and Jimmy didn't hold back, and that's why they're my buddies. They tell me how they think. Tell us your thoughts on Cam's buddies by emailing inbox@realitycheck.radio or text to 2057.
Thanks for tuning in to RCR, Reality Check Radio. Do you like what you're listening to or dislike what you're listening to? Either way, we want to hear from you. Get in touch with us now. You can text us with your message to 2057. That's 2057. Or email us at inbox@realitycheck.radio. We'd love to hear from you, so connect with us today.